You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Since we were unable to chat last week, I wanted to cover some of the previous topics that we didn't get to talk about. The first of those is the announcement that the government plans to apologise for the Dawn raids that occurred in the 1970s. That was planned for this past weekend, but obviously it's been delayed because of the Wellington COVID case, which means we're still waiting for this to happen. What was your response to that initial announcement from the government?
Well, look, the Greens were really pleased that, with the announcement. It has been a very long time coming. You have to remember that the Dawn raids were kicked off something like 48 years ago, so nearly half a century, and it's taken far too long for New Zealand to, I think, acknowledge the particularly dark chapter in our history. It is a real shame, obviously, that it was postponed due to COVID, but, we'll get there eventually. I think the thing that we would say is that it would help to back up that apology with an amnesty, because we know that there are people who are living in a very precarious state who, kind of tarred with that brush, if you like. And I think that it would go some way towards redressing the injustice if that was backed up with that amnesty.
Yeah, so as you say, this is quite a long time coming. But as you mentioned, how exactly can the government back this up with action? And you mentioned an amnesty. I'm just wondering if you could go into more detail.
Well, we think that there are perhaps up to 10,000 people who are in an overstayer position who are kind of keeping quiet about it because the legacy of that period of time, but who for all intents and purposes have been contributing as New Zealanders for many, many years, who have got families here, strong relationships, hold down jobs, pay taxes, all of that, and contribute to society. And yet because of the legacy of that period, are too frightened to try and do anything about their citizenship status. So in that kind of case, I think an amnesty would be well justified and would go some way towards underpinning the apology with action.
As I mentioned earlier, last week we got news of a COVID case in Wellington. How has that new case impacted parliamentary activity?
Well, it's felt a little bit back to the future, although, here's me telling an Aucklander what that feels like. In Parliament, we've gone to spacing out the seating, so only every second seat is filled. There's a few other MPs up in the public gallery. We're observing the same rules as anybody else, so when any events of more than 100 people are being postponed or cancelled, and that kind of thing. But otherwise, we just kind of carry on doing the business like everybody else.
So beyond the delay to the Dawn raids apology, are there any other actions that have been delayed because of the COVID case?
Well, parliamentary business has largely continued as normal. There hasn't been too much disruption at this stage because, of course, level two is not a lockdown situation. It's just a set of precautions. It is very hard for the hospitality industry in particular because, the nature of those restrictions affects their business in ways that it doesn't affect most other businesses. But for the most part, parliamentary and government business is proceeding as normal.
Has this new case changed your opinion on the travel bubble with Australia at all?
Well, I have to admit that personally I was sceptical about the travel bubble in the first place. My sense was that, any kind of contact like that creates a sort of a weakness in the system or adds to existing weaknesses and multiplies the risk vector. That's kind of ultimately what happened. So I know that it's really tough, but I think the approach that the government has taken, the abundance of caution, putting Wellington into level two, thousands upon thousands of tests, that is the right strategy to deal with the consequences.
How does the Green Party at large feel about the decision to pause the travel bubble, I believe indefinitely? I'm not sure exactly when they plan to open it up again.
Well, it's been extended until Tuesday. So, the travel bubble. Yes, I'm not sure quite what the pause length is on the Australian travel bubble. But ultimately, given what's going on in Australia, where you do have a number of outbreaks occurring in several states of Australia, the precautionary approach is the one that has kept us safe and actually been the best economically since the beginning. And so, you know, we support the science-led approach towards dealing with it.
And as far as news on the Green Party itself, last week Golrees released a statement of support for ending youth detention in police cells. Could you elaborate on this issue and the Green Party's position for me?
Yeah, so the original call came from the Children's Commissioner, and it was saying that we should repeal the law that allows children to be held in police cells alongside adults. And the weight of evidence is that this is harmful, and it's actually led to cases of self-harm amongst people who are or have been in those in that kind of detention environment. And you know, given that evidence, we should separate children from adults and make sure that we've got the appropriate facilities.
What risks does holding children in police cells pose to their mental health and development?
Well, the Children's Commissioner was quite clear on this, that that holding children along with adults, you know, given that some of the reasons why adults are in police cells, is not a healthy environment, and does carry risk to those children. And so our view is that we concur and that we should be, you know, able to resource that separation.
The Green Party has supported the idea of moving towards community-based homes for these children instead of subjecting them to police detention. What are the benefits of this model and how exactly does it work?
Well, it's far more likely to lead to a sort of a restorative justice outcome. You know, if you imprison people, we know that that leads to higher rates of recidivism, and particularly when people are young and have done something stupid, that actually there is an opportunity there to make sure that actually they're able to, you know, kind of get on with their lives and to become, you know, constructive, you know, participants in society. Whereas essentially putting them on a track that intermingles them with adults who may have been in and out of the correction system over some period of time increases the chances of recidivism.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.